Welcome back, everybody, to the Heroes Podcast Network. I'm your host for Gamer Heroes. This is John, and my co-host, Derek. What's going on, man?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Good to be back. If you guys tuned in to our last episode, we were at Kansas City Comic Con, and it was a good time. Me at Buster Props did pretty well. How did all the panels go over? Would you say pretty good weekend?
You know, it was pretty decent. I know that our panel was not the most widely attended, but
guys, we had three people. One of them worked there, so but it was also at a really 4 o'clock on a Friday, which is a kind of an odd hour.
It was. It was not the best time for a panel, but you know, we did it. It was fun. It was a good time. The audience members were good, and you know, Costume Couture did theirs on Saturday, and then Scream Heroes had one on Sunday. So overall, I mean, we got what we wanted. We got an interview with Doug Jones, which was really
cool.
That's
amazing. So I can't wait to hear that. He's so good to his fans.
Oh yeah, he's seriously one of the nicest people I have ever met.
That's great. Like, and he does everything. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. It was a good time, and we're glad we were there. Our first time ever having a table or a booth or anything. So, you know, baby steps.
So what are we talking about today? What's going on today? Let's talk about news. I guess we've been out of the loop for news for a while. We'll just kind of jump in there. Do you want to kick us off?
Well, I mean, the big topic, of course, is Battlefront 2 and microtransactions and loot boxes and all those types of things. So for those who don't know, Battlefront 2 was supposed to have a bunch of microtransactions. You would have to buy these loot boxes to essentially level up your characters and unlock things and all that. And it made people really mad. In fact, Polygon had an article entitled, "I spent $90 in Battlefront 2 and I still don't have any control over my characters."
Yep.
And there's been a back and forth, and you know, EA basically came out and said that they're sorry and they're going to temporarily turn off the microtransactions, but at the same time told all of their investors that this should not affect the financial outlook for the game, which means, of course, they intend to turn them back on. So for those out there who are you know, shouting from the rooftops that you beat EA, they're screwing with you.
Well, they're not screwing. Like, they're... I imagine what's happening as part of this is they're probably going to be reworking the system. I don't know, the leveling system and the progression system altogether, because every review that I've read, they're like, I would have given this game a lot higher, except the progression system in multiplayer, which is the heaviest aspect of the game. Sure, there's a campaign. It's very short, very simple. They're saying that the progression system is so evil and so manipulated towards buying those loot crates that it like really takes the player out of the game. So they lowered the rating.
The whole idea here is that they're trying to make a ton of money off of this game. And, you know, I get kind of frustrated with this stuff because I'm not a fan of microtransactions. I'm a fan of, I bought a game and that's what the game cost me. And if there's an expansion pack or something like that, then, you know, we can talk. But this idea of having to constantly buy loot boxes is not what I'm interested in. And there was an interesting article on PC Gamer about this that says, the headline is actually, financial analysts say, quote, gamers aren't overcharged, they're undercharged. And the argument here is basically that if you... Here's the argument from the article. The estimation, so it's a simple measure of cost per hour relative to other forms of entertainment. The person that, Wingren is who he's referring to, reckons that at $60 for the base game plus $20 per month in a loot box, if you play 2.5 hours a day for a year, it's 40 cents an hour. Okay, now hang on a second. All right, 2.5 hours a day for
who
a
does
year.
That? Yeah.
900 hours on one game in 1 year. I mean, yeah, I suppose if you spend $300, which is what that is, 60 plus 20 times 12 is $300. if you spend that $300 and you play 900 hours, then yeah, you probably got your money's worth. So good for you. But they want to compare this to things like movies, where, you know, a movie ticket is somewhere between $10 and $15 for a premiere movie ticket for a two and a half hour movie. So you're paying $6, $7 an hour for that content. The difference here, though, is that nobody is sitting down, or maybe not literally nobody, the average gamer is not sitting down and playing 900 hours of Battlefront 2 no. over 12 months.
That's
not
why
happening.
It's ridiculous. Well, and to compare to movies, in my opinion, it's just silly, because the average moviegoer sees maybe 11 movies a year. That's
average. That's probably high.
That and that's on the high side, exactly. So we're saying that there's 11 movies that they're spending 3 hours. That's not even close to the 900. You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you, you can't even compare that. And to top that off is a movie costs, I don't know, let's say it's just you, $10. So you spend maybe $110 a year to see movies, and you spend, I don't know, you do the math on the hours, but it's significantly less. Basically, with that logic, we're not supposed to play any game the rest of the year. We're only supposed to pay Battlefront to get our money's worth. That's ridiculous. The average gamer buys at least 5 games a year, okay? So at that rate, if we're spending $300 on Battlefront, that's 5 games we can't have.
So, it's a ton of money. And it's just, I don't really think it's a fair comparison to start off with, because it's just not the same thing. You know, going out and going to the movies with some friends or a significant other or something, that there's no real commitment there. It's a 3 hour commitment. But when you're spending $60 for a game, there are some expectations, and every game is different. A game like, you know, Halo 5 or Gears of War 4, you know, has somewhere between a 10 and 15 hour campaign. And then if you're into multiplayer, that's kind of, you know, icing on the cake for you. But to say that the average gamer spends 18 hours a week playing the same game, I mean, that's a part-time job. I don't think that that's accurate. And I don't think the average person's playing the one game anyway. I mean, think about all the games that are out between Assassin's Creed Origins. You've got Doom now on Switch. Wolfenstein 2 just launched on Xbox and PlayStation. You've got the new South Park game. You've got the new Call of Duty game. That's the World War II game. You know, there's a new Xenoblade coming out at the end of the year. You know, there's just countless Super Mario Odyssey, of course. Just countless games, game after game. And you can't expect people to dedicate their entire year to just yours as much as they might like.
It's kind of pretentious. It's pretentious to me to go, well, we want you to pay for our game and only play our game. I get that, but to say it that way to me as a gamer is kind of like, it's kind of an F you in the face, because it's like, I don't give a shit. Okay, you're cattle, and I'm going to use you as such. That's how it feels.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And it's based on this model of games as a service, which is the new industry term, where a game doesn't really end. It just continues until they release a sequel like Destiny. And Destiny is really the first major player to pull off something like that. But there's differences here. And, you know, I game a lot. I have all three major platforms. I have a PC. I play a lot of different games. And when I sunk 70 hours into Breath of the Wild, that was a big deal for me. So yeah. $60 title, a little less than $1 an hour. Totally worth it, in my
opinion.
Totally
worth it, for sure.
Every game is going to be different, though. And I think that where they throw this off is this. This is just not a real-world comparison to say you're going to spend 900 hours on Battlefront 2 in a year, and, you know, in a movie, you're not going to do that, obviously.
Well, and besides that, just besides the time commitment alone, I'm kind of that person. I don't want to spend extra money, okay? They have rigged the progression system so favorable to buying loot crates. And even if you buy loot crates like that article, you're still not ahead. So it's just like, what did we do here? We created a game that has – I don't even think it's a game. I think we just created a funding of money, a source of money that looks like a game. It's that freemium. It's the freemium concept. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's totally the freemium concept, and if you guys watch South Park, there's a hilarious episode on that, but that's exactly what it is. And so let's kind of move away from that guy's ridiculous numbers, but it has caused a lot of other ripples for other games. So I know you just reported earlier today that they canceled Marvel Heroes.
Yeah, so they did this a couple days ago. This happened late last week. But yeah, Marvel Heroes is canceled. The game is no more. And this underlines the main problem that I have with the digital era of entertainment. And this doesn't go just for video games. This is for movies and music too. Because when I go to the store and I buy a Blu-ray, I own that Blu-ray. And as long as I have a functioning Blu-ray player, I can watch that content.
Right.
And if Sony decides they're not going to make Blu-ray players anymore, that's fine, because a dozen other companies will make them, and I can still watch my movies on those machines. But when you buy digital content through iTunes, through the Xbox Store, through PSN, through Steam, whatever eShop, you are renting that content. Whether you like it or not, you're renting that content. And the reason is that as soon as that data gets pulled down, you're done. And a game like Marvel Heroes is exactly like that. This is a game that has been around for a little while. They had microtransactions in the game, and you can no longer play it. It's all gone. So the money that you sunk into this game, that's it. It's over. It's done with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so crazy to me that they would just cancel it. I kind of feel like on the other side of that, you left out a big part though. Sony specifically said they don't want to be a part of it because of the loot crate type scenario, right?
Well, I don't think that's fair because Marvel Heroes is very similar to the Blizzard model that they have in Diablo and very much like Heroes of the Storm, where you know, it's that kind of gameplay like Diablo, but you buy characters like you do in Heroes of the Storm. But most of the characters are like $20 a pop, right? You can spend, you know, $20 and buy Spider-Man, for example.
Yeah.
So you spent that $20, you bought Spider-Man. The game's gone now, so you no longer have Spider-Man.
I hate paying for content, and I hate buying games that are not complete, it's kind of unfair to, I want to say, to those people that they're shutting this game down. And it's like, I understand they put the money into it, but if the company is deciding to develop another game on the side that's similar, those people should get some kind of incentive or credit or something. I don't know.
Well, but, I mean, it depends on the game. So a game like this, like Marvel Heroes, is a free game. Like Heroes of the Storm, and you buy the characters to use in the game. So you're not paying for a complete game. Like Battlefront 2, you're spending $60 for, in my opinion, what should be a completed game. Now, if the argument is that video game prices should be higher now, then the industry can make that decision. But if $60 is the price of the game, that's the price of the game, and they set that price. So at the end of the day, this is a different scenario. The game is free.
Yeah,
and you can play it for free, but if you want to move faster, you want to buy your characters quicker than you're earning them, you can do that. And that's the same with Heroes of the Storm or Hearthstone, any free-to-play MMO, things of that nature. But there's that kind of unwritten rule that, you know, people follow of, I'm paying for this stuff, so I should be able to play these games for at least an extended period of time.
Well, yes, the user assumes all responsibility, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's completely, I can't compare the two in my head, because you go in a game that's free, it just seems less evil, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. It's, we're going in with the intentions that the game is free, right? And hey, if you want to, we're not twisting your arm. You don't have to get those characters. If you really want a character, you can pay for it. But you didn't pay anything for the game to begin with. With EA's situation, it's really, really sketchy, because I've paid you $60 and I've got this short campaign and a progression system and a multiplayer game that I can't progress without paying money. And it's very frustrating. It just seems less diabolical the other way around. But
yeah. But it's still that issue of you've bought the game and those servers go down. So, you know, if you buy Battlefront 2 at $60 and then you spend the $240 on loot boxes for the next year, and then in 18 months they decide to shut the game down, are you going to be happy that $300 is essentially gone?
God, you know, number one, I would never spend that kind of money in that game, but I would be so freaking livid if that happened.
Just something to consider.
It is. I mean, it's like it or not, it's the future. We're heading that route, and what's going to happen is, I don't want to sound like a conspiratist, but what's going to happen is eventually the market's going to shift, and the market is dictated by what, in the end of the day, what we're going to pay for and what they're going to make us pay for, and we're going to pay for it anyway. People are still going to pay for it because they want to play. So there's nothing there to stop them unless every single gamer decides to say, we're not going to buy this at all, and their sales plummet, which they've already seen a little bit of that right now. All they're going to do is come back and ease into it. You know, they went a little too full swing too quick, but eventually we'll get to a point where the whole market and all games are just like, I don't know, they can twist our arms without any repercussions. So
yeah,
it's a shame.
Let's move on to the next topic. So tell me, what's going on with the Xbox One X?
Well, it came in the game a little late, but believe it or not, the Xbox One X actually is selling pretty well. It's actually considered a good success for Microsoft. Now, isn't that kind of hard to believe, considering is there that many 4K people out there that are willing to spend $500? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, so I've been talking to a lot of people about this console, and a shocking number of people who label themselves as hardcore gamers themselves, they are self-labeled that way, did not understand the 4K requirements and the fact that this is a 4K console. So a lot of people I know have bought this and do not have 4K TVs.
See, the only justification I can think of for that purchase is that they are planning for the future and they know at some point they'll probably buy a 4K TV. Maybe they're thinking about it here this upcoming Black Friday. Who knows?
Not the people I've talked to. It hasn't been something on their radar.
Not those people.
And if you're not going to buy a 4K TV within the next 6 months, then you know a year from now there's going to be, you know, the Xbox One X 2.
And it'll be cheaper.
Right?
Xbox One X will be cheaper.
Well, it'll be cheaper. It'll have a slim version, you know, with a larger hard drive or something, like they always do, right? So I think a lot of people don't understand what it is. It's just the cool new Xbox, and so that's enough. So what? I mean, do you have any sales figures? What are we looking at?
They haven't released any official figures, but up until this point, Sony had been leading the race with 100,000 units more than most of the other consoles, and Switch is a little later in the game because Sony is already had the momentum from 2016. And Xbox was trailing behind quite far. But 3DS actually had the most sales. Could you believe that? This past month.
Well, it's an easy thing, because keep in mind that this past month had, you know, there's the new Pokemon games are coming out in November.
Right.
They released a new Pokemon edition of the 2DS XL and all that kind of stuff. So Nintendo's very good at selling their DS line. And there's just so many options.
So,
you know, it's not like buying a PlayStation or an Xbox. There's different colors, there's different styles, there's different sizes.
Right. And I think in the end of the day, it's a cheaper option. And if
not
you're,
by much, actually. It's
well,
not much cheaper.
I guess you're right. It's like, it's like, what, $70 cheaper than the Switch?
Well, no. So the 3DS XL is $200, and the 2DS XL is $150. So right now, you can get an Xbox One S or a PlayStation 4 Slim for between $200 and $250. The Switch is still $300. And the Xbox One X is, 500. You know, 500, and the PS4 Pro is, I believe, 400. Right. And so, you know, the DS is cheaper, but not by a ton, especially the 3D version. So it's still expensive, still $150 to $200 plus tax.
Mm-hmm. And the games. I mean, the games are significantly less than the 3DS.
That's true. I mean, games range from, you know, $30 to $40.
Right.
Instead of $60. So that's definitely true. You could get more games for your dollar on a DS.
I think Nintendo is very liberal with their bundles too. Like, you could get a bundle of basically any game you want with the 3DS. So that's really nice. There's not that many bundles for Xbox or PlayStation. You've got maybe two or three games each console.
And don't forget, I mean, the DS line, those are personal consoles. So, like, my girlfriend and I each have one, but there's only one Xbox in this house. There's one PlayStation in this house, right? Versus we each have our own DS.
Right.
You know, because it's more personal. It's something you take with you. It's something you play on your own. So it's just a very different kind of thing. So
to kind of give you perspective, though, so basically Xbox One, its first week, sold 80,000 units in the UK, and they were anticipating a little less than that, so they were shocking. They were very pleased with that, considering PS4 has a very strong presence in Europe. So that kind of gives you an idea that the people are willing to spend the money.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that's in the first week, which is that's quite amazing to think about it. I think that's probably more popular. How much do you think the Switch sold in its first week?
Well, in its first week, it sold like a million.
Wow.
But that's because it's different though. That's very different because that was a primary console launch and I'm talking in the United States. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know this is their third one. I mean,
I don't know. Yeah, and you're talking the UK. I have no idea how many units the Switch sold in the UK.
Right. But, I mean, that's promising for them, and kudos to them for making the strongest console ever in existence. It sucks that you guys took three times to get it right, but they finally did it.
There's always the most powerful console. The PS4 Pro was the most powerful console.
Yeah.
There's always
I'm just saying they've had three. They've made three different Xboxes, and Sony has just said. Actually, this kind of segues into the Sony article, which I want to talk about. So,
all right, well, let's do that then, because we got to get to our main topics.
Yeah. To kind of segue into, so Xbox, it took three consoles to go, hey, we're the best, and Sony has taken a different approach. They've decided that why combat with another console? They're just going to focus on what they're doing for the future, and Sony is not sweating it because Sony is beefing up, tremendously beefing up their VR. They're going to be adding 100 new games. They're lowering the price. You can actually pick up a PlayStation VR this holiday season, this week, actually. For $199, which is the price point I said I would pay in a bundle.
That's true.
In a bundle.
That's true.
So that means you get a game with it.
Now, hang on, just real quick, though. I want fair is fair here. So Microsoft has three Xbox Ones. There was the launch Xbox One, which is no longer for sale, the Xbox One S, and the X. There are three PlayStation 4s, too.
You're talking about the Slim?
Well,
the Slim does not count.
But that's what the S is.
Okay, there was a hardware change between the original launch Xbox and the Xbox Slim. They changed things.
They also changed things on the PlayStation, though.
Okay.
So, and then almost the exact same way. The only difference is that the Xbox One S can play 4K Blu-rays. That's the only difference. So they both got the upgrade from the 500 gigabyte hard drive to a terabyte hard drive. They both got slimmer, more energy efficient designs, and the S got an internal power source, which the PlayStation already had. So really, the S and the PlayStation Slim are literally like the same basic concept. And then you have the PlayStation 4 Pro and the Xbox One X. So really, they've actually been neck and neck. PlayStation, Sony's just been a little bit ahead of that game as far as release date.
Well, all I can say is they started the game a little weak anyway, and it's taken this long to finally get the edge. But that's not biased because I'm a PlayStation fan.
Well, I was gonna say, as a guy who has both, you know,
right.
They've been very neck and neck, and they both do different things better. But
true. Yeah. So, like I was saying, though, PlayStation decided to they're going to be focusing on their VR, which is the future, and that's what the president of Sony said. This is the future, and this is the route we want to pursue. Competition only makes us better. I think that's very true, and he said it also keeps him working hard. I think that's very true, but I think the biggest game changer, and are you ready for this? Sony has plans in 2018. They plan to make a system where the points and trophies you earn for playing games actually gets you money as PlayStation Store credit. How amazing is that?
So that's an interesting idea. Because it promotes achievement hunting, which is a very popular thing. I don't know how I feel about that. I imagine it's more of like a rewards program, you know, like when you go to Best Buy or something.
All you're paying for is the subscription, which you need to play. You need to pay for anyway, the PlayStation Plus to play online, but. Really, they're just giving you incentive to play more and basically beat the shit out of your games. Like, beat your games, get every trophy, and we're going to give you points, which will give you money for it. I think that's a great motto. I think that's a great scheme. I think that's really different from what everybody else is doing, because as a gamer, you constantly feel like you're getting hit with prices every left and right. And it's kind of interesting that they're taking I guess they're big enough to take that approach where they're like, we're going to give you money. But it also making their own economy because they're keeping people in their loop. No one wants to leave.
That's the issue, though. I think you're looking at it the wrong way here. It goes back to the games as a service thing. They want you to play the same games and not move away from them because they want you to buy the loot boxes. Right?
Listen, though.
So the idea here is that we're going to give you a little bit. Yeah, you get some achievements, you get some trophies, we'll give you a little bit of cash, but we want you to keep buying those $20 loot boxes.
The difference, though, is I'm not paying for it. I'm paying for it on their money.
I mean, sure you are, but it's that idea of how many achievements do you have to complete before you can afford a loot box.
They've given you a little bit of a breakdown. So it's going to cap at every 1,000 points you can earn. You can trade them in towards credits. They're looking at 100 silver trophies is worth 100 points. So you don't even unlock any bonus, any prizes until you hit 1,000. So that's 100 silver trophies you need to get 100 points. 25 gold trophies for 250 points, or 10 platinum trophies for 1,000 points. I can personally say platinum trophies are basically myths. That's why they're each worth.
Okay, so you need to get. So wait a minute. So 100 silver trophies is 100 points.
Uh huh.
So you need 1,000 silver trophies before you can get any money back.
Right. At 1,000 points, you unlock the first reward, which is $10 PSN store credit.
Okay, so now hang on. So let's do that math here for a second. Okay, if a loot box is $20. You would need to collect 2,000 silver trophies.
That's the basic ones. Those are pretty easy. You get silver trophies just for beating levels.
I'm just saying, though, how many silver trophies do you think you have on your PSN account?
I don't know. I haven't looked in a while because they never meant anything. They never were worth anything. Now they're worth something. I might look into them.
All right, so this is your homework. I want you to come back and tell me later how many trophies you have of each ranking, and then I want you to calculate how much money that is.
I will. I will do that. I will do that for the next podcast. I'm just saying, in my opinion, this is they're the only ones that are willing to give their people money for playing games. Like, I think that's a great motto.
I mean, that's not true. Microsoft has had a point program for their Xbox Live for a couple of years now. You don't get points just for, you get points for lots of things on Xbox, not just for achievements.
And they give you credit?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, it's new to me.
So, you know, Nintendo has not done it for that, but they've always done it for buying. They used to have the Nintendo Club where, when, you know, they have a new version of it now.
You buy a game, you get, they actually have it, yeah.
Yeah. So actually Sony, if anything, is the last one to the party for this. And I think theirs is designed more for this Battlefront 2 games as a service, where they want you digging in as many hours as possible into a single game, so you'll keep buying those microtransactions.
Right.
So I think you're giving them a little too much altruistic credit here.
I personally think it gives people incentive to play their games. Like, I've never played games for trophies. Like, I will do things and... if it gets me a trophy, hey, it got me a trophy. If not, I never really cared. So for you to say, hey, you start getting more trophies, we're going to give you money. I have more incentive to play. And they're actually creating their own, basically, like David Buster's cash, where you turn real money into their money, and you use it to buy stuff on their market. And
of course, it's like an MMO. You know, it's the same kind. Like, that's the thing. Like, this is nothing new. It's interesting, but we're going to move on. But next week, I want you to come back with your trophy numbers.
You too. I want to know where we're at. Like, I'm just curious.
I don't play on my PlayStation anywhere near as much as I do on my PC or Xbox.
Gotcha.
My numbers will not be great, but I'm very curious what yours are since you're a dedicated player.
Deal.
So. All right. So, here's our main topic for today. We got two video games that we want to discuss. First is Narcosis by an indie title by Honor Code Inc. That we are going to, I'm going to be talking about because I have played that game. And then John, you're going to be talking about Doom for Nintendo Switch.
For the Switch. Yep. Pretty stoked to sell you on that.
So I'm going to try and talk to you about Narcosis, what it is, and why people should or should not check it out. So, first off, like I said, Narcosis is by Honor Code Inc. It's an indie title. It's $19.99. You can get it on Steam. You can get it on Xbox. It's also available in Oculus in VR, which is a big deal because this game clearly was made for VR. I did not play it that way. I played it on Xbox One, but it is clear that this game was intended for VR and is probably even better in VR. But here's on their main website here. Here's what they call it. So Narcosis, the tagline is survival horror beneath the sea. And the synopsis, short synopsis here is just that, stranded on the seafloor with little light and few tools, an industrial diver takes desperate steps to surface before his oxygen and sanity give out. This game.
So it sounds like The Abyss. Like it literally sounds like a James Cameron movie, but maybe his nightmares.
That's it. Yeah. So think of The Abyss, but like as a horror movie.
That's kind of cool.
All right. So it's first person, you're inside this diver suit, so your field of vision is not great. Your movement is very restricted because you're A, underwater, and B, in this big diver suit. So all you have are these thrusters and basically a pocket knife. That's all you have. And a headlight lamp. And some flares. You can shoot some flares. So, you know, you're super deep in the ocean. There are these like crazy squid creatures that come after you, giant angler fish. And then, really, I'm not going to spoil the game for anybody, but I'm just giving some information here. And these giant spider crabs that you cannot kill, they can kill you. So there's some stealth involved because you have to kind of get around these guys. There's no map. You're really lost. So it's very difficult to, you know exactly where you need to go sometimes. It's all based on like a compass, so you know what direction you're headed. And then as the game progresses, you as the character are going insane and you're hallucinating. So you'll go through a door and all of a sudden everything's sideways or upside down or twisted around. And you have to work through these mind warped puzzles to get back to reality.
Wow. So it's like, it's like that movie. Sorry, I know I keep comparing it to movies. It's just really funny though, because it's like The Abyss, but like made of James Cameron's nightmares, but also throw in that movie that Christopher Nolan did with Matthew McConaughey, where he's trying to travel back.
It's more like The Abyss meets Inception.
Yeah.
Because like things are like folding in on themselves at times.
That's crazy.
And, you know, you're getting like attacked by ghosts that aren't really there. It's all in your head. This is a very interesting game. All right, I just want to say that. It is short. I beat it in 2 hours and 55 minutes. But it is intense. It is interesting. At times, a little cumbersome from a control perspective. It's not always easy to maneuver the way you want to. And there are some frame rate issues on the Xbox. But it is a really good story. I found it to be fascinating. I found it to be intense and disorienting, exactly how it meant to be. Like, I was super confused and lost when my diver was super confused and lost. And, you know, it is creepy and scary at times because you're underwater and there's like lava and it's dark and there's these giant spider crabs that can kill you in one leg punch. You know, and crack your suit open. If you fall into a crevice, the pressure is too much and it crushes the suit.
Wow.
You know, like this is, it's almost, it's like borderline simulation. The detail is really good from that standpoint.
I know you were able to beat this game actually within the weekend. How long would you say the whole campaign or whatnot?
Like I was saying, yeah, I beat the whole thing in 2 hours and 55 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got a timer. 2 hours and 55 minutes.
So, are you timed down there? I'm just curious.
Not exactly. I mean, okay. The big thing is you have an oxygen tank, and that oxygen runs out, and you have to find backup tanks, or you have to find refill stations. So, don't get me wrong, if you find a refill station, you could stand there forever while you refill your tank every so often. But most of the game, you don't know where the next one's going to be because you're not going back to where you were. You are always moving forward. So you never know what's next and where the next one will be. So you're constantly filling up, but then you get paranoid of, well, should I fill up now or should I wait a little bit to fill up so I can maximize the tank? But then you think, well, maybe I won't be able to get back to the tank later and then I'll miss it altogether. And you're picking up along the way. So, okay, this is done with a voiceover. The whole time there's this voiceover of the experience and everything that happened during an interview. And the one good thing about that is it lets you know when you're going in the right direction. Because if it's silent for a while and finally there's talking again, you know that you've made it to kind of the next part you're supposed to go to. Because it's not always intuitive where you're supposed to go. And that's part of the point is that you don't know where to go. There's no map. There's no waypoint or anything like that. You have a compass on your helmet and that's it.
Damn. So yeah, they really want you to feel like Alien Isolation.
I mean, pretty much. Yeah.
They want you to feel like you're alone.
But you never get a gun. You know, you're never a match for the sea crabs at all. And there's certain things that you just can't fight. You just can't.
So you have to run.
And you just have to run. And you're running, you know, you've got thrusters. You can use your thrusters from time to time, but they overheat, so you can't use them perpetually. You have a limited number of flares you can use to see.
So overall, what are you rating this game?
So it's a little difficult, right? It's a $20 game if we're talking about, you know, your value, right? I spent $20 for 3 hours of content. Which is about what it, you know, works out to basically, you know, a blockbuster movie, opening weekend, prime time, you know, IMAX or something like that. I mean, when I saw Thor Ragnarok in IMAX in California, the tickets were 19 and change.
God.
Okay. So, you know, on par with that, except you get more time. This was a 3 hour game and it's interactive. So I definitely think it's worth the $20. It's a really good game. There's some clunkiness to some of the mechanics, And there were times where I legitimately didn't know where I was supposed to go. So I did use a couple of walkthroughs because I just got a little frustrated. Particularly, there's a point where you have a little submarine shuttle and there's a crash. And you end up on the ocean floor and you just have no idea which direction to go. And after dying probably 6 or 7 times, I was like, you know what? At this point, I'm not dying because it's hard. I'm dying because I'm lost.
Right.
So I looked up a couple. I looked up a walkthrough to kind of help me through that. Overall, though, the game is just really interesting. And the end of the game, I'm not spoiling this for anybody. The end of the game has such a great payoff that it made the whole thing absolutely worth it.
See, I love that. I mean, that's like, that's the best right there. When you've went through this experience in the game, and the game, like you said, rewards you for it. That's great. That's good storytelling as well.
Yeah, it is.
Just to be clear, just based on what you've described, to me, it sounds like this could be a hell of a VR experience
This game makes me want to buy a compatible VR system just so I can play it in VR.
The PlayStation VR for $199.
Well, according to the website, it's they only have it on Oculus. It's not on PSVR. So, you know, it's hard to say for sure.
I didn't know that. That's kind of interesting. It could be one of the 100 games that they're adding next year.
I mean, maybe. I mean, so here's the truth. I mean, I got a review code for this game. And, you know, my goal was to get through as much of it as possible by the podcast. I did not know anything about this game going into it. I really didn't.
I didn't even hear about it
until you told me. That's why I wanted to play it, though. I think a lot of us miss these smaller games because of the AAA titles. I mean, when you look at everything that's been out recently, you're talking about massive franchises. Mario, Zelda, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Destiny, you know, all of these big franchises, Wolfenstein. And so a game like Narcosis, which is just really interesting and highly detailed, and a lot of work really went into it, just totally gets missed by a large portion of the gaming population. And, you know, the truth is, I would say it's absolutely worth the $20. How you want to play it, you know, on PC versus Xbox One is up to you. I really enjoyed it on the Xbox. Though I will say that the achievements were a little, when you would get an achievement, it just kind of takes you out of the moment because it's that, you know, bright green pop-up at the bottom middle of your screen when you're in this, like, really intense moment. But that's not the game's fault. That's an Xbox problem.
So is it 1080p?
That's a good question. I don't really know.
I'm just curious what it was running resolution-wise and frame rate.
It's a good question. I do not know the technical details of the game.
That is A-okay. I feel like a game that is not graphically intensive like that, like there's not a lot of fast-moving things, could probably easily push a 1080p and really, really give you the experience of like, wow, this is so realistic.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is not, you know, a high def, you know, next gen experience or anything like that. It uses Unity 3D for its graphics, and you know, it definitely looks like it's intended to be a VR game. And I don't mean that as a negative. I actually think this is a great use of VR for a storytelling perspective. It's first person, which I think, you know, VR should probably be first person most of the time. And it's a short story, so you're not really straining your senses. But it's about the person that you are. It's about that experience. And it's about putting you in this dire situation that you just have to kind of gut through. So I think playing this in VR would probably be pretty cool.
It sounds like that's the way to go. Of course, me and you don't have the average user doesn't have that set up quite yet, but...
No, which is why if you don't, go on Steam, go on Xbox One. I think it's also on Humble Bundle, and you can pick it up. Maximum price should be $19.99, and I totally think it's worth your time. If you would spend $15 or $20 to go see a movie, you should spend $20 to play this game.
I would rather had the experience. So great. That's a good synopsis, man. I'm going to jump over to Doom. It's not really, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but there's not really that much, anything really that new. Derek has, he already has Doom, but he has barely played it, right?
Yeah. I got to, the point where you get your first weapon upgrade.
Okay.
That, yeah.
So, do you have the shotgun yet?
Yeah. Yeah. So you get the shotgun, and then you go outside and you get,
so you like just went outside right now. You haven't came back in.
I have not come back in yet. No, I'm outside. Gotcha. I got like some key card and I moved past that door. And then there's this little floating robot that has like a gun upgrade.
Right. And right. Okay. I know exactly where you're at.
Okay. Yeah.
So this was deemed, Doom. My first thoughts I want to say is I have played it on PS4. And this game was slated as the impossible port to Switch, and God damn it, they made it happen. You hardly can even, I don't even know where to begin. You can hardly tell the difference between playing it on PS4 and playing it on the Switch. Graphically, it looks amazing. Like for a port, it's hard to believe that it's 720p and that it's running at 30 frames per second. Now, if you correct me if I'm wrong, you might have to Google check this, but I think the PS4 one ran at 30 frames per second.
Do you recall? I have no idea, because Doom's been out for a little while now.
Last year. It was out last year. It was last year's big boy. Let's see. Frame rate per second. Just trying to get you guys a perspective here. Now, the game, yes, it did run at 60. Never mind. The game functions so well and the graphics look so great on the Switch. I played it in handheld mode and I do have one complaint. I played it in handheld and in on the TV, so on the Switch dock. I do have one complaint and it's probably seen in most of the reviews. The stick setup for the Switch makes it a little difficult moving around. It's just a little uncomfortable. It's not impossible. It doesn't make the game. It doesn't really hinder the experience. It's just a little uncomfortable. So I highly recommend a Pro Controller if you have it. I even tried to play it with the GameCube, the GameCube glitch, and that did not quite work. So I ended up playing it. I don't have a Pro Controller, which I'm planning to snag one here for the Black Friday sales. But that's besides the point. Anyways, so the game,
You need to get one though, man. That Pro Controller is awesome.
Well, I'm thinking. I thought I saw it's going to be $39.99 for Black Friday, which is well worth the money.
Well, for that, I'll pick up a second one.
Right. That's what I was like. Yeah, I'll probably just get that. But anyway, so the game actually, if you're asking someone who's bought it once, and now bought it twice, is it worth buying twice? Absolutely. 100%. I think to have this game on the go is so much fun. And I even dabbled a little bit with the online play. And all I have to say, the arcade mode is really, really freaking good. But the online play itself is a lot of fun. Now, this is a big deal for Nintendo. This actually hits a couple landmarks for Nintendo. It's the first large AAA title. It's the first multiplayer first-person experience. And I even want to say it's not the first mature. But yeah, that's a huge deal for them. And I will tell you, it flows pretty smoothly online. The online play is a lot of fun. There's not a lot of people on there yet because I don't think that many people picked it up. But it's a lot of fun, man. And I think for that, just for that alone, once you've beaten the game, because the game itself is, I mean, this is a critically acclaimed game. It was nominated for Game of the Year last year. The campaign's amazing, and there's so much playability beyond that, and so many secrets that you don't even, I have some screenshots I'm going to send you, Derek. So
Okay. There
are these places in the game where they're always hidden because they're secrets. There's about 5 secrets per level, and there are these little levers that you pull. And when you pull that lever, it makes a dee-dee-dee sound, just like that. Dee-dee-dee, like a little jingle. And it opens a door. somewhere on the map, right? It's usually pretty close by. But anyways, so you go through that door, and it's a classic level from the original Doom game. Old graphics and all.
Really?
It's amazing.
How did I not know about that?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. They're like little secrets. They had this in the PS4 version as well, but it's just a lot of little things like that that just kind of make your day. Like, oh, man, this is great. I did one of the levels. It's later on when you're trying to turn off the arc reactors. There's like four of them you've got to deactivate. Or you've got to kill the demonic presence because, I don't know, it causes the security to go wonky. And then once you've done that, you've got to deactivate the reactors. Anyways, it's a level. It's like a maze. It's a giant maze. And it's one of the levels from the original one. And it's so much fun because literally you're just walking through the maze with a shotgun. It's so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll send you some of those screenshots. They're really good.
I'm going to have to try and find some of those levers.
Yeah, actually, there's one right by where you are, actually, in the game. So where you're at, it's like in the middle of that map. It's hard to describe without pointing it out for you exactly.
It's like maybe you can show me on Wednesday.
Yeah. I will say this. There's a couple disappointing things about it, though. One of the things I think was kind of, and this might be Nintendo's thing, but you can take screen caps like you can on most games, but you cannot video in this game like you can. That's a new feature they just rolled out. I can video Odyssey play. I can't video this.
So far, the video capture on Switch only works on first-party titles.
Gotcha. Okay, so that explains it. So maybe they'll roll that out a little bit later. Online is very confusing. Simply because they don't really have, we've talked about this earlier, like with Mario Kart, it's one of those things you can't just invite a friend and join a match together. It's, you hope you get in, you know. You can do a private match though, so that's nice, and we could still play.
That's still lame. I still think they need to have some type of party system. Multiplayer has been around for a long frickin' time. Nintendo needs to get with the program on that.
Right. Oh, but like in their defense, they don't even really, they're still working on a real online system. So, that's on them. Who knows when that'll come out, but I'll continue to play for free and have fun. So it's a couple quirks from the game that actually carried over from PlayStation 4 version. The brightness is really weird on the game. Did you notice? Maybe I'm the only one that's going crazy, but does the game brightness jump in and out once in a while? You'll see it whenever there's a something on the screen that's lighter colored, the brightness will go up. Or whenever it's darker, the brightness will go down.
I don't think I noticed that.
You haven't noticed that?
Not yet. I'll keep an eye out for it.
You have to turn the brightness way up. Like the gamma has to be at 1.0 or higher. Did you notice that? Like when you first start the game, I'll give you an example.
They show you the logos.
Yes. Don't follow that. Because a lot of people, and this is actually online, you can Google it. Most people are complaining about that because they're worried, you know, it's the first thing in the game. As soon as you put in the game, turn it on, it asks you what you want your settings at. They don't know where to find the settings to adjust it, which is in game. You have to start the game. It'll be in any options, but you have to actually start the game to get to those settings again. So people were freaking out because they would do that setting, never see that setting in the menu, right? And they're like, oh my God, where do I do this? Didn't want to start the game that way. Anyways, so the brightness needs to be turned up quite very high. I was going to say the other thing was the chromatic aberration, which is kind of stupid. Did you turn that off when you played?
I'm not even sure. I don't know what that is.
So chromatic aberration adds a lens, like a lens effect, where it kind of gives everything this little shiny lens flare type thing. And it actually decreases. I don't know why that's a fault in the game, but I don't know why they put that in there, because it actually makes the game look less realistic, in my opinion. So turning that off will... greatly, it'll be like night and day on your graphics. So turn off your chromatic aberration.
So that's on by default?
It is default, yes.
Okay. I'll have to turn that off then.
Turn that off.
I did think that things kind of looked shiny.
That's what that is.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it gives it such a weird... It gives things weird textures. Turning that off will help. And then there's quite a bit of a frame dip when you're moving quickly. And your enemies... This is only when there's a lot of enemies on the screen. So it's okay, not necessarily when you're moving quickly and you're just running naturally. It's when there's like 12 enemies in front of you, in the distance, close to you, and you're running. And that's what kind of causes the frame rate to drop a little.
Okay. So I don't really play that way. I play a little more stealth-like.
You can't.
I love first-person shooters. It's worked so far.
Okay, wait till you get inside. let me ask you this. Have you had a portion where you found this giant red pussing thing in the middle and you go up to it and you pop the eyeball?
Yeah.
And then a bunch of them pop up?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like those moments. Think about that indoors though. There's nowhere to run. Like you're there.
Yeah, I like using this. It's not really a sniping option, but the way the laser pistol, you can kind of zoom in a little bit and charge it up.
And charge it up, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I like that. You can actually decrease the time on that later on with some upgrades, so it's pretty quick. It's... I like that a lot. But the weapons, wait till you get the chainsaw, man. The chainsaw is... You're going to see a lot of crazy stuff. I don't know what else to say. It's like you have no idea what you're in for. You're going to get pissed off and you're going to die a lot. And you're going to be like, shit.
But, that's okay.
Overall, that's all right. Overall, I want to say I think the impossible port was achieved. They did it. And I'm very, very hopeful for Wolfenstein because I think they're going to be able to do Wolfenstein, but I think you're going to have more problems only because Wolfenstein is way more graphically intensive. So, yeah. And the game looks great. I mean, what are your opinions on just playing it for 45 minutes? Was it pretty awesome or what?
Oh, I love it. I loved it. Doom is going really well so far. For Wolfenstein, I'm so on the fence. I want to get this game now and start killing some fucking Nazis.
I know.
But I also want to have it on Switch, and I don't want to buy it twice. But on Black Friday, it's going to be on sale for like $20 or $30, $25. I'm like, this brand new game for $25.
I know.
I might just get it for my Xbox or PlayStation and be done with it.
I'm going to wait because that's the great thing about the Switch is I just want everything to be on the Switch because I love the playability on the go play. Like, and I know that's what their point is, but it's just like, man, having Doom on the go is so good. Like, I can't even describe how happy I am about that port. It's a very good game. Wait till we play online. You're going to like, yes, trust me. Online is where it's at.
Well, and don't get me wrong, I mean, we paid more for Doom on Switch because it's been out for a year on the other consoles, and I don't know if I want to do that for Doom and Wolfenstein, you know?
Well, sure, they're created by the same company, but I think they're very much different, so you...
No, it's more of just the bang for your buck, right?
Right, I mean, the bang for your
between
buck.
Between Skyrim, Doom, and Wolfenstein...
Well, you know, I've bought Doom twice, and I think it's worth it on both systems.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I think it's worth it. Like, but you're totally right. There, with Black Friday approaching, just so you guys know, this is going to be a very, very good year for gamers on Black Friday. I've been looking at the ads.
PlayStation bundles for $200.
VR ones, too. I mean, it's insane. And every game you can think of, even Assassin's Creed Origins, is all going to be at the maximum $30. $39.99 is the most I saw for that's $20 off and brand new games. So yeah. You couldn't get that deal any better. So
yeah, I told myself I wasn't going to buy any more games in 2017.
Good luck.
But these are,
I've got like five on my radar right now. I'm even considering the VR PlayStation VR $199 is a hell of a price.
Well, dude, if you get that, I've got some VR game suggestions for you. So
Well, Batman is. In case you guys didn't know, I'm a big Batman fan.
It's true.
But yeah,
you know, speaking of Batman, as we're closing up on time here, John, you're going to be playing Batman in our November Patreon video.
It is the role I've been training my whole life for.
So you're excited about it?
I am more than excited. I am ready. I'm surprised you didn't ask me to do this sooner.
So for those who don't know, the Heroes Podcast Network has a Patreon, patreon.com/heroespodcast, and we started a movie series where we do these fun movie parody scenes. And in September, we did Pulp Fiction, and in October, we did Scream, and now in November, we're going to be doing something that involves DC Comics characters, but it is not Justice League. So,
You guys are going to have to watch to find out.
If you want to get 2 weeks early access, just become a patron. As little as $1 a month will get you access, early access, behind the scenes stuff. You can check out the other two, because they're open to the public now, on our YouTube channel, if you go to heroespodcast.com and go out to our YouTube channel there. John, anything else you want to touch on before we close out the week?
No, man, I'm good. I hope you guys really get out there, and I know Black Friday, some people are totally against it, but if you're a gamer and you want to get a good deal, man, get out there and get those deals. But speaking of games, we're going to give you guys a free one as soon as we hit 10 reviews
on iTunes.
iTunes, guys, that's where I was going. He beat me to it. Give me 10 reviews, good, bad, whatever. You're going to get a good game. You're going to get a good one. You're not going to get one that we just pick for you. We want to make sure it's something you want. Could be a AAA title. Could be Doom for Switch. So give us a review and get that game.
That's right. And of course, guys, check us out on all of the social medias at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find me at the Star Trek Dude on Twitter. That is me. The Trek Gamer Dude is my name at the moment. And John, where can people find you?
If you guys want to find me, you can find me on Facebook under John Zerwinski. Or if you're really interested in what I do on the side, I do props. You can find me at Buster Props. We're on all social media outlets, except for Twitter. But Buster Props. Come check us out. I have Batman cowls in case you want to become a vigilante and you're inspired by my Bruce Wayne role from our patron.
If you want to be cool like John, you know.
That's exactly what I was trying to say, but in a nice way. Anyways, we do women's cowls. We do just about everything. So I'd be your man if you're looking for costume stuff.
All right. Well, that's us, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back after Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody who celebrates it.
Happy stuff your face, fame, whatever.
And if you do Black Friday shopping, please don't be that guy and be the jerk in the store. We're all civilized human beings. Let's just buy our stuff and go home. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Have a good one.